Hey, this is Cheryl. Is there anybody else on?
Hello.
Hey.
It's Dinah.
Hey, Dinah. Welcome.
Thanks.
You should be able to hit Tom Gower's here with me, and we're trying to work cordless phone, which is always exciting.
Especially without reading glasses.
why don't you ask Dad, because he's been using that phone forever, and he may be able to understand.
How do you mute it? Do you know?
How do I mute a particular line?
No, how do you mute it so that you don't have background noise on these calls?
I don't know.
Can't remember. Usually they tell you, and I'm afraid if I push the wrong thing. I know it's *1 for Youssef, but I didn't know what it was for this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look that up on their instructions, which, since I don't have my computer with me, I...
Oh, where are you?
I'm in my house.
Oh, all right. Never mind. It's obviously complicated.
Oh, well, yeah, I've got multiple buildings. It's sort of like your place.
Yeah.
There's the office that has my computer and then the house which doesn't. Who joined?
Mike Lewis.
Hey, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hi.
Is Anna Ayala on yet? I'm hoping.
Yeah, I managed to get away for a few minutes, so.
Good for you. That's
It's a lot. Beth has a major exam tomorrow, and three kids are not asleep yet, so.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
Who joined?
Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie, welcome.
Hi.
I haven't heard Ann join yet, which is going to be really exciting if she doesn't.
Well, we can probably go through.
Well, Dinah actually probably knows almost as much as Ann does.
No, hardly, but I know enough.
Yeah.
Be disgusted. And I certainly can find answers and get back to anybody who has particular questions.
Yeah, Dinah, other than being a 4-star judge, you're something or other in the USA East?
Well, I'm the zone rep.
You're the zone
for East, and I'm on the United States Equestrian Federation technical committee.
Okay.
So I catch it from all sides.
Yeah, you do. I always think of Ann as being the person who's informed. That's mainly because, as the ride manager at Biltmore, the person I always go to is Ann. It's like the font of all information, but at the same time, Donna, you're an exceptional font of information, too.
Oh,
Ann, I know, has been around since probably the concept of USEF and AERC sort of had to join. You may have been in that same type time frame. I just know Ann was.
Yeah, and Maggie.
Yeah, and Maggie, exactly. I think that was a drop. Did somebody else join? Oh, well.
So do you know what Ann was going to talk about?
That's good. Why don't we start then?
Well, I can wing it till she gets here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Let's start it on a wing. And
that
somebody joined?
There she is.
There she is.
She always shows up.
Yeah, she does.
And on time. Almost. Might be a couple minutes, one way or the other.
Yeah. Who else?
About on time.
It's Mike. I got disconnected.
Ah, that was the drop I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Welcome back.
And Ann Ayala is here. Dinah's here. Tom Gower's here. Stephanie Hendrickson's here. And I think let's call it a quorum and proceed.
Okay. So what are you going to talk about, Ann?
Oh. I thought people were going to ask questions if they wanted to know.
Well, you know what? I mean, this is Dinah, obviously.
Yeah.
What I think would be really helpful for people is to get just a really rough idea of what changes have occurred in qualifications, bang, 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 if you can do it. You know, like that you have to do novice rides. How many? What?
Right. Let me ask a question of the group that's on here. Are you aware of the qualifications to do an FEI ride in 2009, and where you have to begin?
I am. This is Stephanie. I am.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to go into a lot of things that you already know.
Well, let's get back to something that I should know, but I have somehow missed in my synapses, and it may be easier to ask than it is to look up. with apologies because I know it's lookupable. The ride that has to be 10 miles an hour or slower, is that the one-star ride or is that your novice qualifiers?
That's your novice qualifiers.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And that only applies to this year.
And there have to be five of them, right?
If you're using novice qualifiers from, there's not five.
350s or four.
350s or two and two, two LDs and 250s.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah, that's a.
Or if you did 100, that will count as a 50-mile ride.
I think
that's
a great
well,
question.
If you have done any FEI ride in the last 2 years in either any of the part of the year 207 or 208.
Most of it is an AERC 100, not an FEI 100.
An AERC 100 will count for 50 miles for one of those 50-mile rides, yes, according to Vanita.
Okay, that's what I understand. It's the mileage that they're looking for, evidently.
Yeah, it won't count as 250. It will only count as one.
So if you do if you take a horse in an AERC 100,
you get credit for
two steps up the ladder. Yeah.
No, you get credit for one. 150-mile ride. It only counts as a 50-mile ride.
I thought you were saying
ride, it only counts as one of those 50, the 350.
They don't want you doing hundreds effectively, they do not want you to be doing hundreds.
That's exactly right.
As a qualifier.
They don't recognize anything other than FEI, so they don't understand that there are such things as hundreds without FEI.
Right, and I think this is just the grandfathering process for this year if your horse in the last 2 years has completed those rides.
Well, there's a new piece to that that I'm sure Ann will tell you about, the date thing.
Well, the date thing is that any ride, I started to say a minute ago, I think, that any ride from 07 or 08, FEI ride, counts. You don't have to count the exact 24 months and because this is a switchover kind of thing.
Yeah.
Time, like... call it under their rules
for
guidance or something and transition process and all this stuff. But
okay.
Now your rider lifetime, your experience is lifetime. So if you have done an FEI any time in the past, you are, even if you've done, say, in 04, you did an FEI ride, and if it was FEI 100, then you are qualified.
What does the rider have to do in order to qualify to do an FEI 100 or a 75? Do they have to have done an FEI 50?
If you have already done 100, then you can stay at that level.
I think what she's asking is if you've never done anything, what do you have to do as a rider to qualify?
Well,
you're asking, Cheryl?
Yes.
Okay.
Does the rider have a ladder, or can the rider jump on a 75?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
I don't think
qualify up at the same level as the horse.
It's the same level as the horse, so you would have to do your two LDs and your two, your 250s or your 350s, and then you would both be qualified, you and your horse.
And could you do all LDs?
You can be qualified separately. You can qualify separately. You don't have to qualify on.
Yeah, I'm trying to get, I've got an explicit issue that I'm trying to work, is I'm trying to get a rider who's qualified. I'm willing to have her, I'm paying, have her be USAF, paying to have her have FEI registration, all this other stuff, but I want her to do a 75. She's done 50s. She hasn't done FEI 50s.
Well, then she's screwed.
Yeah, I don't think Vanita will let it go. I don't think that'll be an exception.
I don't think FEI will let it go.
No.
Can you do all your rides as limited distance? All your novice rides as limited distance? I think you can, can't you?
Mm-mm.
I think it's more the mileage and the speed than it does. I don't think it says anywhere you have to do 50s, is what I'm getting at.
It's just that you can do 350s, and they will count for your so-called four rides that you have to do.
But you could do, I think it's mileage, right? It's a certain number of miles. Does anybody know?
No, it's not a certain number of miles. A certain number of
rides
at a certain distance.
Oh, wait, you're both talking. I didn't get
one
of you. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I've got the rules right here in front of me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too.
Complete two LD rods and two 50-mile rods,
or three 50-mile
rods at speed no greater than 10 miles per hour. No, but you're not looking at the FEI rules.
Yes.
Yes. Well, FEI wouldn't refer to LDs.
Well, they call them...
up to so many kilometers.
So many kilometer rides.
Okay.
Ride between so many and so many. We call them LDs and 50s. That's not what they call them.
Okay, so what you're saying is that they're referring to two different lengths of
ride.
Exactly. You are required to do. You're required to do at least two of the longer length rides. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
And two of the shorter ones, or you can replace another longer length for two of the shorter lengths.
Okay, that's helpful. So basically,
yeah.
350s are something comparable. That requires 250s.
Yeah. Now, if you use old rides to qualify for your ladder so that you could start out with a one-star or 50-mile FEI ride this year, the speed element does not enter into it.
So if you can prove that you've done AERC rides to that.
Right. That's all you have to do is bring that proof with you, or the ride manager may... Probably on the form that you fill out to enter an FEI ride this year, most ride managers will ask for your qualifying rides if you don't already have a passport that shows it and all that sort of thing, mm-hmm. or a log. But basically, the best thing you can do is to go online to the AERC website and download your horse history mm-hmm. or your own history, just to show that you have this many miles. And the horse has this many miles. And then you would be ready. If you have never done an FEI ride of any kind and your horse has never done an FEI ride of any kind, then you would be ready to do a one-star, which is a 50-mile ride this year.
Remind me the time period between the 50 and the 75. Is it 4 weeks?
That applies.
No, it's only two between a 50 and a 75. Between a 75 or 100 and another 75 or 100, it would be 3 weeks.
Okay.
As I understand it.
Could you also explain the USEF rule, which is not commonly known, I don't think, about weights? For the United States?
Yeah. If you are wanting to qualify for, let's back up just a minute. The new rules under FEI on weight say that it may be between 75, as in the past, or 70, whatever the ride manager has decided that will be an acceptable weight for that ride. However, if you want to use that ride as a qualifying event, you better ride at 75. Or you need to ride it, must ride at 75 if you're going to qualify for a championship ride.
I was going to say, if you want to, the qualification is for the four-star level, isn't it?
Yes. Right. At this point, it would be for like for the WEG or the Pan Ams or the European Championships or whatever else you might want to go to. So you're probably safer to, even though the ride may say you can ride at 70. Now, I'm thinking about, they've changed the qualifying rules so many times for this team challenge that I must admit, I almost have to go back to the USEF website and look it up again. I was trying to see... because they are now counting points for 50s and 75s for the ranked rider list. And I think in that case, if I'm not wrong, you need to be riding at weight in order to get those points.
That's my understanding.
Does that agree with
Donna? That's my understanding.
Yeah. That if you want it to do for any kind of future ride,
you better be riding
at a higher level, yeah. That you won't get the points unless you ride at 75 kilograms.
Yeah.
So that is probably important. And then you need to really also check your horse age and make sure that he's qualified by age, because they are much stricter this year than they have been in the past. And they have to be, if you're just starting your novice rides, your so-called qualifying AERC, the AERC rides that you have to use as novice qualifiers. The horse has to be 5 years old. Even if they're doing an LD, they still have to be 5 years old. Not by AERC, but by FEI rules. And one-star and two-stars, 50 and 75s, have to be six-year-olds. And the three-star, seven. And the four-star championship has to be eight. And also different from AERC is that USA horses, for FEI purposes, are deemed to have their birthday on January 1st, no matter when they were born. But AERC takes the actual date of birth to get your 4 or 5 years that they require.
Between AERC and FEI.
So you get a little more leeway with the FEI. You could do a ride technically before your horse is fully 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if his birthday's in June and you want to do a March ride, he would be considered five in January for FEI. But not for AERC. Unless you heard of his birthday. So that's a little confusing. I think mostly for the vets and officials that are trying to figure out whether you're qualified or not to do what you want to say you want to do, or a ride manager. Let's see. I guess the rest period is the other new thing, and there might be some technicality involved here that is really not there. It basically says that you must have 13 days rest after an FEI 50. This means that if you ride a 50 one Saturday, you can wait two Saturdays and ride the next one. They consider, the Sunday arrest, the Sunday after the ride arrest day. The same is true for a 100. If you don't finish until after midnight, they still count that Sunday as a rest day. And they don't count the day you check in. They count that as a rest day. So, therefore, anything over 50, you have to have a three-week interval. So you'd have ride on Saturday, wait a Saturday, wait another Saturday, and then you could ride one. So that's a little confusing maybe in the rules because you get all tangled up and try to count exact days. But just think of it in terms of Saturday to Saturday or Sunday to Sunday. Now, this will present if Cheryl Van Dusen goes ahead with her ride in Georgia, if there's anybody that applies to.
Yeah, looking at
you could not do 100, another 100 or 75 if you had done one at Fitz. Well, you could do a 75 depending on the days, but Fitz 100 is on Sunday and hers is on Saturday, and that doesn't give you 21 days.
But you could do a 50 at Fitz and a 75 at Red Barn.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. You've got more than enough time there.
Yeah.
That's your 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've got basically 3 weeks as long as the rides are on Saturdays. But they're not. Fitz is on Sunday, and then the other one is on Saturday, so that leaves you one day short.
Actually, Fitz has 3 days of FEI. And.
Oh, yeah. You can do one of the other distances. You could do a 75 on a Saturday and then do a 75 at Red Barn on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's just the 100 that'll be.
Yeah, the 100's the.
Not true. Able to repeat.
Yeah.
Right in there. So that was another thing.
And the metabolic hold?
Yeah, the rest periods we were going to. Oh, well, yeah. That goes into even more more detail as to if you have been treated. And it's easiest just to read the rules and look at it, I think, from that standpoint. I can get an exact quote if you want by turning my pages back. I haven't tried to memorize. That's one thing I haven't tried to memorize. And it depends on if you're treated once, you have a certain rest period. And if you've been treated a couple of times, then you have a longer rest period after the second pull. So you do need to look at that in case you're pulled to try to see when you can ride next in terms of the number of days. And depending on, now if it's a lameness pull, there's no problem. I mean, you might still be having a problem not want to ride your horse, and it might be the wise thing to do, but as far as FEI is concerned, they are only concerned with metabolic horses that are treated, which, as I put it, requires immediate invasive treatment at the event, then you have to rest 2 months, 60 days. And then if you have had that happen to you at any two consecutive events or twice within a three-month period, you've got to rest 90 days before you're again eligible to participate.
And that's horse, correct?
That's horse.
Right.
Yes, that's horse. It has nothing to do with rider. It's just all under horse. That's
but
all under horses.
If you have a metabolic pull that was not treated, you're treated the same as any other horse?
You would do whatever you want to do.
You're
I mean, it says
which
requires
horse.
Immediate invasive treatment. Mm. So if they plug you in, you know, then you have been treated. And, you know, for fluids or something like that.
Reluctance to have your horse treated, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Has what?
Creates a reluctance to have your horse treated.
There is a certain problem there.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
And we've known, you know, FEI events in the UAE where they just automatically plug the horses in at the end of the ride. Whether they need
yeah,
treatment
exactly.
or not, they put fluids in them.
Yeah.
Just to rehydrate. And I think they're going to have, maybe Ruth will give us some, you know, further interpretation on this when we have the kayak.
I really hope so, because this is a classic case of, at
horse
some level, you're sending the wrong message.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they're trying to take care of the horses. They're thinking of the welfare of the horse in that, you know, not running again. But at the same time, of course, I think, you know, if the vet says you need treatment and you refuse treatment, it's the same as if you had treated the horse.
Yeah.
And I think that's their out. I mean, that's back in the regular,
yeah.
you know, regular rules.
Yeah.
And the word, the hint there is require,
mm-hmm.
For metabolic reasons, which require immediate invasive treatment. So if the treatment vet said, you know, the line vet sends you to treatment and the treatment vet says you need treatment and you say, no, I don't want to do it,
mm-hmm.
That's the same as if you had.
Yeah.
So that's probably how they get around it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Because that does present the problem of, you know, somebody not wanting to. And I think here it's up to the vets to be very firm.
Mm-hmm.
Your horse requires immediate treatment. Take it to the treatment place. You go from here to there.
Yeah.
And here's your slip that takes you there. And you know, you don't get away without having it done, or at least it's counted as if you had done it.
Right.
And that was your logbook or your, I don't know how they're, I haven't been at a ride, albeit FITS, but I haven't been at a ride to see exactly where in the passports they will note a pull, because in the past there was never any information. They that simply stamped basically that you were there, but there was never any pull information or anything that said whether you completed or didn't complete the ride.
Just got the latest and greatest passports for Orion and Winston. I mean,
yeah.
They arrived in the mail this week. There's nothing there that supports recording any of this information.
That's the log?
It has to go in the log, then.
Yeah, it has to go in.
That's what it is in, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We have our log from the last ride, and it is in the log.
It's in the log, yeah.
The log
I figured that's where it would have to be, but it won't be in the passport.
They get stapled to the passport? We're not supposed to add pages to the passport, either. That's illegal.
No, it's in the folded in the back, but it has to be printed off of a computer, which makes it a real headache, so do it before you get there.
It has
You can go on the FEI website.
The computer?
Yeah, you've got to type it in on a computer. You can't handwrite it in. And
A
lot of people got
said that
and didn't know that and were trying to do it by hand. And anyway, just trust me. You want it printed out, put your name in it, and get it done before you get to a ride.
Now, just for those of us who are a little bit naive on this, okay, blog stuff, I've seen the, let's just say the raw material on the FEI website of this is an this is a blank log.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is you drag this, say it's a doc file for the sake of argument, over to your computer, and you type in what it is that happened at ride T.
No, you don't.
You can't do that. All you can do is fill out the horse and his number at the top.
And the ride manager has to do this?
Actually, technically, the
foreign veterinary delegate
has to do it, but there's no way that's going to happen.
Exactly. There's no way on God's green earth.
It'll fall to the ground jury.
No, it'll fall to the ground jury. Yeah.
But even the ground jury, I mean, how many people, how many rides have computer resources as a matter of course?
Correct.
Not all, printer. Probably. And some of it may be, in fact, mailed in. Hmm?
And, you know, other... The records, it's not just that you get one log page per ride. It's supposed to be a continuous record.
No, you only do one log page.
So it's one log page per ride. So
No.
They continue on. But there's really not what's really weird about it, and I'm sure they're going to change it, but they haven't yet. There's not room for everything they ask for in the rules as far as what's actually printed in the columns on the right on the log page.
Can you summarize what they're asking? I've always been told by vets that are filling out my FEI passports, some feel like that all the vaccination records of everything should be included, and others say don't put anything more than they ask. Is that going to log, or is this just for...
That's different.
Yeah.
No, your vaccination should be in your passport.
Well, actually, a lot of vets say do not do that. Only
really?
Put your flu in.
Flu, yeah. Oh, I thought that's what I was thinking of, flu.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? With rabies,
Huggins and stuff, no.
Else.
Just
exactly.
Take the papers on that.
Yeah.
Well, and if you've given a West Nile or...
Whatever. Yeah, don't put that in. Just put the flu. I was just speaking of the flu. But and it won't be on your log. None of that stuff will be on a log or anything.
Log
you can carry papers with you if you want to.
That is, okay.
Yeah.
And on the USCF website, where is the rider log?
It's on the FEI.
I'm looking at the FEI. Where is that on the website?
Okay. Have you gone to endurance? Are you under endurance?
I'm under endurance.
Endurance, okay. And it should be one of the listed things. It was under endurance.
They've had it down, the website down for almost until the end of the month, but maybe they've put it back, some of it back up again.
Let me check, see what I get. See if I can come up with anything.
Let me grab a computer to hang on.
Yeah.
We're all shooting out to FEI.
Yeah.
New FEI rules, clarification, net.
Endurance. Yeah, it's there. Hit rules, then go to endurance on the home page. At least that's the way I got
it. Oh, on the very front page?
On the very front home page, hit rules up at the top.
Okay, home page rules.
Okay. And then over to the left, endurance will come up.
Okay.
And hit endurance. And then there are five things in yellow under rules and relevant documents.
Okay.
And the last one is the log sheet.
Well, I must not be hitting it back. Okay, I'm home.
Okay, up at the top there's a whole string of stuff, one of which is rules. It's between athletes.
USCF. Okay.
You're FEI, right?
I'm at USEF.
No.
You got to go to FEI.
I can even tell you the address. It's www.fei.org, disciplines/endurance/rules.
Or any other combination of that will get
then
you there.
And regulations.aspx.
Okay. I was on the USEF website. I was on the...
Oh, no. No wonder you were having trouble.
Okay.
Windows is great. It takes forever to boot.
Hey,
anybody?
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about foolish rules?
A lot of them.
Watch those whistles.
We might be here all night.
Yeah. Well, we would if we got started whistling, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Whistling one.
Whistling's not loud.
Yeah, and there's been much ado about what they call trainers.
Yes, which are really tennis shoes.
Oh, not people. It's footgear.
It's footgear, yes.
Yes.
At first they told us it was something else, not
they told us it was sweatpants.
Sweatpants. And then this is FEI, Secretariat. And then they wrote back and said, no, trainers means tennis shoes. I think what I may be speaking out of hand here, but I believe that what they don't want to see in the vetting area are sandals and shorts, and that includes your crew.
And that includes at all distances?
Yes, if it's FEI, if you're an FEI rider.
Yeah, I mean, some people think it's just for the
hundreds.
Cars,
no.
It's not.
No, it's a general dress code for everybody. They still have the collars. The one thing they do allow now are breakaway stirrups. For those of you who might ride in English stirrups, you don't have to have cages on those, or you can ride in English stirrups as long as they have little rubber bands on the outside. So that's a little plus. Not much, but a little. And some of the rest of it is, I think, going to, I mean, we've all had a good laugh about all of the clothing and that sort of thing. But I think the two rules that they have there about being in the vetting area properly clothed, as it were, basically for safety, particularly with sandals.
Yeah, I can understand.
And some of these hot rides, you know, shorts would be nice, I'm sure. But and I don't know how. Dinah, do you have any idea how strict they're going to be about crew and shorts?
I think it's going to depend on the place.
Yeah.
My gut, but I think if it's because it's very specific, it's very hard. You know, I try to fudge on the rules that are ridiculous, and you have a workaround.
Mm-hmm.
But if it says no shorts, it's really hard to not have no shorts.
Right. I mean, do you mean shorts or Bermuda shorts?
Shorts are not recommended. Then you can sort of say, well, we'll have shorts. But when it says no shorts, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I want to go back just briefly to this log sheet thing after we sort of hashed things through. I finally got it up. And when I first saw this, I was just assuming, okay, you fill out the stuff by hand, and as long as the foreign vet delegate signs it, after the line is completely filled in.
I think the only thing...
It's okay, because it's all handwritten, and it makes sense to be handwritten. And they're saying it has to be typed? Who's saying it has to be typed?
Just your initial copy at the top. You have to print it off. Do you see where it says you must type this?
No. I've got to admit, I don't have my glasses on, but FBI endurance log sheet,
prior
port,
and must
FBI
be.
Passport number, FBI registration number, that part needs to be typed?
Yeah.
It says must be completed prior to use of the log sheet and must be filled in on the
filled out on the filled in on the computer.
Okay.
What they mean is that's the star. See, the little star in front of it. And the only thing you fill in is the name of the horse, star, and the FBI passport and registration number, star.
Ah! So the rest of
it
you
have three things right across the top of it, and that's it.
Okay.
And it's not such a big deal. It's just that it's a pain in the neck if you're at a ride and you don't have a printer.
Right.
You don't have a computer because...
Well, I think some rides, and I think
Biltmore
is one of those, we should have a few of those lying around.
Yeah, and maybe the deal is that somehow or other they're getting off the information for their database. I don't know. But it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, because the FBI doesn't really see these logs.
Ever.
Ever, that we know about. I mean, we do turn in on the results. You know, it has lameness, you know, pull, all that. Now, whether they were treated or not is not on there. And, you know, when it describes the stuff that's supposed to go in the log, that's why when Jan Stevens and I first saw these, Jan said, I said, well, what are we going to do? Because the log wasn't up on the FBI website. And I said, this was right before GOTHI. And we said, what are we going to do? And she said, let's just make up one. And she had one that's 10 times better than the one they came up with as far as the way it's set up and the information that you can put on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we got to use this one now.
But also it turned out that we didn't need one in that year anyway, right?
Yeah, because they decided they didn't want us to put any AERC rides in the logbook. Only FEI rules go in your logbook. So that's why I say if you have a new horse that hasn't done FEI before and you want to start with a one star, but you've done all your AERC rides, take some sort of proof of those with you. Just, you know, run off the details from the AERC website under your horse, what he's done.
Mm-hmm. and bring one of these blank FEI log sheets with you.
Yeah, and Carol, in terms of Biltmore, I think we ought to run off a bunch of them and have them there just in case.
But you have to
they have to be typed in.
No. Oh.
That's what
name of the horse, the FEI
oh yeah, that's
number,
filled in on the computer.
All have to be passed.
It has to
be typed
on
in
the computer, so you're going to have a way to print it.
Yeah, have a computer and have a printer.
Mm. Yeah. I haven't tried to fill out one of these. Can you can yeah, you can put your name in and print it right off.
Yeah,
the,
it's a doc file, so you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kind of a little bit miffed.
Yeah, you really couldn't do it unless you had a a whole setup.
Yeah, if you don't have Microsoft Word, but even that, I'm kind of looking at it and saying, you know, what really makes sense to get what I gather to be their intent, and it's like once the horse's name is in ink and the FEI passport number is in ink and the FEI registration number is in ink, you're solid.
Well, and
here is what I'm thinking. Now, I just opened this up, and it all says form text, so there you go. But what I'm thinking is that you have to do it while you're online.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. You can't print it out and then do it later.
Okay.
I don't think it'll let you do that. And in terms of at a ride, now, you know, we probably conceivably have the facilities to do it because you could put it on a some kind of a flash drive or something and take it up to the office and print it out for somebody.
Yeah.
But
what we need to do is probably at
you need to remind anybody that's writing FEI to be sure they have the log and have it filled out.
Yeah.
You know, just in, it's kind of an RM thing to to make sure everybody's done it.
Stephanie, Tom, Dinah.
Yeah.
For Biltmore.
Yeah.
Telling him. I'll tell him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because some rides are out in the middle of nowhere and they don't really, you know, have it as easily. It's not easily accessible for anybody. I mean, very few people are going to have a printer sitting right there.
Yeah.
But... Okay, so we've got your crew dressed properly, and you dressed properly. There's not much change in that, as far as changes are concerned. The pulse time is the other big thing that has changed, and I'm sure probably both Stephanie and Tom are aware of this, that you now have only 20 minutes for FEI. But if you fail that, you can still wait for another 10 minutes and go in and get and continue as an AERC rider,
mm-hmm.
just like you can at the end with the 30-60 rule. So that is possible if you wish to do that and at least get some AERC points. Anything else?
I do have a question about the pulse. At the, and this was at Gothy, and I wasn't real sure. During the vet checks, if you failed the criteria, you could go back one more time, but at the end it was one and done. Is
yes,
that correct?
That's the way they're running it.
Okay.
I'm not sure there's anything that's technically printed there, but that's the way it is.
That was my understanding of how they were running
that,
it. And
yeah, that's how they're doing it. On what I mean, that's really a vet thing.
I don't think that rules so much as ride management slash
more veterinary.
Yeah, the vets. I'm sorry, the vets' choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that
for FEI that
FEI has always been. FEI has always been. It's been traditionally. It's only at the end that maybe you know you've been allowed to come back, but you've within 30 minutes you could only come back once. At any past FEI ride, even, at least all the ones I was at or managed or did anything.
Okay, and at Gothy, if you only had one shot at it at the end.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't down at your completion.
At your completion at 30 minutes. Yeah, and you had 30 minutes there.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. then you were. Well, but even if you went in at, say, 10 minutes, and your horse was at 66.
You better not do that.
Right.
Learn to whistle.
You were one and done, yeah. Well, you can't whistle anymore either.
No, just be darn sure that you're down.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
because it's not really going to matter that much. You're not running a race at that point,
right,
like an LD thing where you're trying to get down as fast as you can. So,
well, no, wait a minute. I have a question about this. If you're in an AERC ride and an FEI ride, which everybody is in this country,
right,
and you have a 10-minute CRI that's required if you're standing for BC, and you're not down, I think you have the full 30 minutes. I really do.
But then that takes you out of BC, basically, is what that's good.
Yeah, no, I think you can stand. I don't interpret it that way, Ann, and maybe I'm wrong, but I was under the impression you had 30 minutes to come down. I think it's the trot out that you got one shot at. Now, I could be really wrong on this, but...
No, I don't. I don't think you have a. I don't think you have a one shot on the trot out. I think you can have a vote on that.
Well, they do vote on it, but what I'm saying is that the vets can decide whether they want you to come back. But in general, once they vote, you're done. I mean, not in general. Once they vote, you're done, and usually they will only let you present at the finish for soundness once, is my understanding. But I can't imagine that they would not let you come and present for BC at the 10-minute, if they require a 10-minute CRI, and not they're not going to eliminate you.
I would say that if they ask you to come for a 10-minute CRI, you better go for your 10-minute CRI, but it doesn't have to count.
Yeah.
Except against your score on
BC. Yeah, that's not necessarily your final.
Right, exactly. That's what
I'm. You could still come back after another 15 minutes when your horse is down.
Correct.
Present for Pulse.
But I want to get your feedback on it, but that would be my understanding, but maybe I'm wrong here.
Well, no, I think it's a question we can ask in a couple of weeks. Ask the vets to clarify that for us.
This was close. They'd better let you come back.
Well, it doesn't make sense if they don't.
Right.
No, because then the 30-minute rule is useless.
Yeah.
Right.
But it would count heavily against you if your Pulse were still at 64 when you went for your CRI.
Correct.
But they shouldn't be looking for your they should only be doing a CRI at that point. They shouldn't be looking unless you want them to. Go ahead and do
your complete. Ask them what the pulse is and you tell them whether or not you want them.
But I mean, I don't think you can say, no, you can't stand for best condition because you're not down in 10 minutes. You know, that you can't even present for best condition because you're not down in 10 minutes because you'll be eliminated. That doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. No, it seems contrary to the rules. But it's a good thing to clarify, though.
That's fast.
And I think it'll probably be the vets that make that decision about it. But I would think it would, you know, not be fair.
If there's a backlog at the pulse takers and you actually could not get in within 20 minutes?
Say that again, Tom.
That if you were standing in...
Yeah, if you're running 25s, 50s, and 100s, and you come in, let's say, the first loop, which is typically when it could happen, and you've got a backlog of horses, and you actually can't get to the pulse box, you know, you call, how would that be interpreted?
Well, I can tell you how it worked at the last ride. Because
that's what I
horrendous.
Heard about that.
Well, you were there?
No, but I heard
were they
about
trying to take pulses in the pulse box?
Oh, my God. It was a horrendous backup. I bet some people waited 40 minutes for...
I've heard even different language referred to.
I watched...
done that at the OD on the last vet check, too, and I know what it is. You're sitting there, and you know how much... You know your time is running out on your 100 to get back in, and you've got this line at the vet check.
Well, the way that it was handled the gallop was, I mean, we had virtually every single horse, all 100-something horses, in the hole standing in line at one time.
Yes, I heard that.
Pretty much. And so what happened was...
Where Red Barn.
They took the numbers of the horses as they went to stand in line.
Well, that's what we do at Biltmore anyway. I mean, you go through the pulse line in about 2 seconds.
Right, but you see,
we don't have pulse takers. The vets take the pulse.
Right.
So I think you're beholden as a ride organizer to, you know, if that horse is there within 29 minutes, you got to make sure he gets his time, whether he gets his pulse taken right then or not.
Right. Agreed. I mean, that's up to the timer. I mean, that's
and that's a loophole. I've seen that happen before, because if there's a line there and you're 20th in line and your horse isn't down, and it's a loophole. You can take your horse in at 70 and say time, knowing you've got 10 minutes
oh, sure.
to see a vet.
Oh, sure. Well, that was the thing about the whistle and the pee. You know, people would go in at 70, and they would know that they could make their horse pee when they whistled, because he'd been trained to do that. And so somewhere between the pulse box and the vet, where his pulse was going to get actually taken, he would have to stop and urinate, and that'd drop his pulse. So they'd take a chance on gaining 2 or 3 minutes there.
But on the flip side, that there used to be a rule, and I really frankly haven't studied it to see if it got pulled out, is that it says somewhere, and it may be in the vet regs, something about if you have a backup of horses, that the vet has the right to go anywhere into that line and take it.
That's correct. That is correct.
And so, you know, you can be playing with fire, and if the ground jury sees a horse that is clearly
a steward or ground jury can ask a vet to come and do that for that horse. Right.
I mean, if you see a horse with a respiration of, you know, over 100, and clearly
the pulse line,
you know, you can practically count the pulse on its chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ground jury may well say, "I think we've got an issue here of somebody trying to play games."
Yeah, I think, and they should. You should be aware if you've got a lineup stacked up waiting to get to the vets. But that's one reason at Biltmore that we changed, you know, no longer having people that actually took pulses in the pulse box, because that way we could move them on in. And, well, of course, if you have enough vets, everything runs very smoothly. If you're short on vets, then you've got problems. Or if you don't time your ride correctly, like Doug did at Greenway, and have everybody coming in at once, then it's chaos. But that's really ride organizers' problem
to
fix.
I do have a question. There's a 2-hour post check.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You know, that's gone
really?
Away. That's gone away.
Well, that's at Gosee. The vet said, okay, you're done except for the 2-hour post check.
We were still under the old rules at that point.
Okay, so as of
January 1st, we're not in there. Because I looked for it. I thought, well, what happened to the 2-hour rule? You know, and I looked through everything. I looked through the vet regs. I looked at the whole thing, and there's just, it's not there.
It's there. Yeah.
Now, if you are standing for BC, you remain in competition until the awards.
Hey, Anne, I have a technical question for you that I haven't been able to get. I'm just not figuring out where it is. In the rules that changed last year, there was, if you had a passport and you have a horse that you're not competing in FEI for a year, you don't have to get a flu shot every year. I mean, you don't have to get a flu shot every 6 months.
No, you just have to have one 6 months before the competition.
6 months before the competition. Okay,
yep.
That's what I was wondering. I just wasn't sure whether it was at the year or at
within. No, you must have annual flu vaccinations.
Correct.
But if it has been more than a, you know, if it's been like 10 months since you had your vaccination and you're looking at a ride that's 10 months from that date, you need to get another one.
Right, okay.
That's 6 months,
within
the time limit.
Okay.
That's allowed.
Okay. Thank you. That's great, because I was having trouble figuring it out.
Yeah, and you can't count the check-in day.
No. Okay.
With your time frame. You've got the 21 days plus or minus that you can work with, but if it goes beyond that, then
right.
you can't compete in the FEI. Donna, do you agree there, or are you?
You answered it beautifully.
Okay, all right. And that has happened at a ride recently. Well, it was probably Gosee, and that was, like you say, that wasn't a new rule. That was last year's rule on the 6 month thing.
But it just wasn't clear to me how it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go along as long as the horse is in an extended rest period. As long as you give them a flu shot every year, you're okay. You know, you don't have to go back and do the original series over again, which you would do if you let it lapse more than a year. Then you got to go give the double again. The other thing that I can't find on anywhere in the rules is whether we were always under the impression that on those two initial shots that they had to either both be nasal or they had to both be injected. And now I can't find anything in any of the regs anywhere that says you couldn't do one of one and one of the other.
Well, that's good.
Have you come across that at all?
No, I haven't seen it.
In my passport application material, it was very explicit that the two initial thingies
had to be the same.
Okay,
then that's where it is.
Passport application material as opposed to, and I just read it today. That's the only
as opposed to the rule somewhere. Okay, that's where they put it then.
And
but that wouldn't be a rule.
Exactly.
No, it's just a requirement for the passport.
Yeah.
But they can make whatever requirements for the passport they want.
That's true. And then they don't give you a passport. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you got to have two for a horse, have them be the same.
Yep.
And if they weren't, you better go back and start over again.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the things that was confusing, I think, a lot of people, and certainly me, is the rule, and I'm going to probably get this wrong, that basically says once you start your presentation, you must complete your presentation.
Yes.
And the presentation must be done within, within the time, the 20 minutes, basically.
We had a big argument about this.
It's misleading because they can't, it doesn't account for things like shoes being put on, or and if you got a 20-minute slot to get your pulse down, it's very tricky to get your shoe on and your pulse down within 20 minutes. But anyway,
yeah, I think the important thing is to get your pulse down.
Yeah, but
and then usually the vets make an exception if you have to have a rule that you can come back and trot when you get the rule on.
But remember that is not necessarily going to be always the case.
Right.
I mean,
that's practice. I think that has been common practice, at least.
Yeah.
And we've always, at a ride you'll go to, and they'll always announce what their shoeing policy is going to be.
But clear on it. Be clear. Be sure you understand what's going to happen to you.
So that you don't get accidentally knocked out for something that really, in a sense, wasn't your fault.
Okay. So, talk to me about that a little bit more. I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, the way it's worked in the past is that if you came in to present and your pulse is down and you pass the pulse criteria,
right.
Then you have to go through the rest of the stuff, the metabolics and the trot out.
Right.
And what they have usually done in the past, at least at some of the rides I've been to, if you wish to go ahead and trot your horse, missing the shoe, and he passes, then you're free and clear. If you want to go get a shoe and come back, but I think you have to make the decision before you trot and accept whatever. You trot out, and oh, yeah, he's lame. Okay, well, I better go get this shoe done. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think that's going to fly.
Actually, we've had them do that, but we've also had them say, you're pulled.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying.
Not much consistency on that.
Yeah, just careful.
Without a definite at ride briefing or something, this is the way it's going to be.
Yep, just make sure you understand how it's going to be so you don't get caught.
Yeah. And ask if you have any questions.
Well, they said you're pulled for what? Because you don't try out because you want to get the shoe?
You, the exact example, Steve was overseas at a ride in I don't know, UAE or Abu Dhabi or something. And it was when they first put in this new, you got to go to the vet right away thing.
Right through.
And so he came in and he went right to the vet and without a shoe, and said, I'm missing a shoe, and they trotted him out, and they pulled him. I mean, he had no option, and what he should have done, in hindsight, is he should have gotten his pulse and gone and gotten a shoe and then presented
for the rest of the...
So you just need to...
They probably do everything.
So you just say to them, I want to get the shoe before I trot out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would probably do all of it, everything except the trot out, they would probably do. They'd probably do the metabolics and everything while you were standing there.
Okay.
Or find out at the briefing what to do.
Ask
policy.
The head vet what he's going to do, what they're going to do.
Okay.
Because if they say it at the briefing, they're not going to change their minds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But by all means, be prepared to tell them you need to go get a shoe. And unless you're absolutely sure the kind of surface and the fact that your horse is missing a shoe, that he's still going to trot okay, you know, if they let you go get the shoe first. But you got to do it within your rest period too. That you do have to do. If you have 40 minutes after your pulse time, if it's a hold, a 40-minute hold, say. If it's a 30-minute hold, you got 30 minutes to get that shoe and get back in there and get past. That they won't give you an allowance on time.
So it has to be done within the hold time. It
has to be done within the hold time.
Basically, you have to pass all criteria within the hold time.
Within the hold time.
And that's not very clear either.
No.
No, there's a contradiction because some of the vets even have brought it up. They say, well, they say you've got to pass the criteria within 20 minutes. Well, you know, you can't come in at 19 after and expect to do your metabolics and your trot out and all that sort of thing within 20 minutes. So I think for the most part, the vets understand it to be that 20 minutes is pulse. And then you can go ahead and do the rest. But you can't pulse and then come back, you know. You've got to continue on.
Straight through, right.
Yeah, you got to go straight through, no matter what, except for the shoe thing. And then I think in most cases, I think as long as it's made clear at ride briefing, the vets don't mind if you come back, just as they can always ask you to come back for a recheck before you leave.
Right.
But you don't want to get pulled for not, you know, for trotting lame without a shoe.
Okay.
Are we making it worse or better?
No, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, that there's going to be a line at the farrier. And
yeah, I know. I hear you. It's
yeah.
Really, it's a not. These are some of these rules is not. They aren't what we agree with, even though we may be FEI people.
Yeah.
And maybe we're FEI people because we're trying to make it better.
And some of the, you know, some of the rules are definitely, you know. You have a crew. You probably even have a farrier with you. Or your team has a farrier.
I have my 73-year-old mother.
And it's,
she's everything.
I didn't have anybody. I felt really lucky I had a crew at all on 100 miles. But you know, you are at a slight disadvantage. That way, though, I think probably, I mean, if I were a rider and I were getting a new shoe on my horse and I was with, you know, it was my rest time or something and somebody came up in a desperate situation to get done within the time frame, I'd give way. I mean, an ordinary ride.
Right.
If a championship ride, I mean, then the team
pets are
on there and you probably don't have a problem. And they're pretty fast at getting those shoes back on.
Yeah, I know.
Because they have them made up ahead of time. They have extra set. That's another thing that you can always do.
Well, I do. I always carry an extra set of shoes.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't, you should.
Yeah, I always do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing you also might consider is hoping that your horse is sound in the easy boot and trot them out before you take them up there. If you want to just get, because once you get through your vetting, you can stay as long as you want. And
right.
Right.
Yeah, so that's another thing. If you're if you'll trot in an easy boot, and you can slap that on real fast,
mm-hmm.
and you know, save yourself some time.
Right.
So again, that's something to practice at home. You know, horse trotting in a while your farrier is working on him. Say, hey, I want to put an easy boot on this once and trot him out and see how he does before he puts the shoe on.
Mm-hmm.
Things to do. I think the other thing that American riders, particularly U.S. riders, some do well, and I'm not making this a general classification, but if you are, you know, in the B.C. area or even in the vet line, you know, practicing trotting with your horse and getting him to do the circles and whatever that might be needed for B.C. is really important to practice at home. So many people do it so poorly.
I wish that Apex would do a clinic with just that. Honestly.
Yeah, we thought we put that on our list to do, that it would be a good kind of clinic
huge.
To have, you know, training your horse and things you can do. But the most at the present time you can do is every time you go for a ride, when you bring him back in, be sure you put him through the ropes. You know, get him used to it. It's something you do. Even though you're tired at the end of this training ride, we're going to go do our circles.
Well, and the other thing is a lot of people find that they can make their horses happier trotting out by trotting them out to the pasture when they're done.
Yeah. But you do need to trot them in hand.
Yeah.
in order to.
Yeah, try to
depend. It's important when you're in the vet line too. Let's see, what was it? There were in the rules on elimination. I'll have to go to it to get the exact wording. But when I talked to Mike Tomlinson, if your horse does not trot properly for them to assess it, if it breaks or breaks into a canter or puts on sides of shenanigans or doesn't whatever, and the vet is not able to truly judge whether that horse is lame or not, you will get a negative vote from a vet on that. So again, you know, it's just really, really important to know exactly how much lead line to give your horse and all that sort of thing, so that you don't run into that. Because it says, okay, the rule says, if the panel is still unable to conclude based on 3 attempts, that's how many times you have to trot him out, that the horse is fit to continue, whether it is because of a presentation failure. And according to Mike Tomlinson, what they really mean there is that the horse was not presented in such a way that they could tell.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, refuse to trot. And you can't, there's a hazing thing in here. You cannot, a third party may not, you know, clap for the horse or whatever. And a third party would be anything beyond the person that's taking him down the aisle and the horse. The third party would be your crew standing back by the vet.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot make the horse trot. Run after him yelling trot, 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 or anything like that. So that's what they mean by that rule. If anybody wonders what may not be done by a third party means when you read that. The other thing that Mike told me, and I don't know whether this will ever occur to anyone, if the happenstance is such that there are only 2 vets there to vote, and this can happen at rides where there are away vet checks, and sometimes, you know, they start out with 4 vets, but 2 of them have already gone on, and there's only 2 left from the time you get there. And if the horse is trotted out, and the one vet asks for a vote, or you ask for a vote, and trotted again, if it comes back to the ground jury as a 1 negative and 1 positive vote, if it's metabolic, you will be eliminated by the negative vote. If it's a slight lameness issue, and it's obviously slight because you had to trot 2 or 3 times for them to see what, you know, to really decide, then you may be allowed to continue on.
So if it's metabolic, you'll be pulled, and if it's lameness, you'll be allowed to continue.
You'll be allowed to go on when there's 2 votes. And no is either no or undecided counts as no. Yes, obviously counts as yes. Now, that's just from Mike, because I brought that up in a conversation with him about some of these rules. I said, well, what if, you know, there aren't 3 vets and you get 1 vote each?
And where
do you do then?
That?
And that's what he told me.
I mean, is that in writing somewhere?
No, not that I know of.
I
decision by Tomlinson.
I don't remember seeing it in writing.
Huh?
I certainly don't remember seeing
it. No, it's not in writing anymore. I guarantee you that. But
so
that was his interpretation from a veterinary standpoint, for what it's worth, right?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't say to a vet, well, you're trying to pull me for lameness, but really, you know, since you're tied, I mean, how is that going to work?
I don't know. I really don't know until it occurs.
God knows it will.
Oh, yeah, it will, given, which also means that, I mean, most of the time if you're trotting a horse out, it's not a metabolic issue.
Trot outs are not metabolic.
Most of the time it will be a lameness issue. Now, granted, metabolics can make a lameness issue.
But if you're trotting them out.
But if you're trotting them out, you're probably trying to find a pulled tendon or something, you know.
Right.
Or
something
like that. So for the most part, if it's a 1 each vote, then the positive vote would take precedence.
I have been trotted out by an FEI judge for gut sounds.
That's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying this is what he told me, if that's the situation.
I mean, it's just because they say you've got to pass everything again if you are questioned. This person said you have to pass everything again if you're questioned on anything.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do things differently in different places is all I can tell you. And the important thing from our standpoint is for Ride Briefing to really cover the major things that are likely to occur.
Yep.
And that's about the best I can do. We're all human, and we only, you know, we try to interpret as best we can, but there's nothing that's really always black and white.
Correct. And no matter what we think of, something else will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something will come up.
Yeah,
that's the nuts and bolts of it, I think, guys and gals.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Dinah.
Nobody has anything else.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Cheryl, who are you trying to get to ride your horse?
A woman named Marby Cola.
Does she need a 50-mile ride?
Yeah.
Can she do it at Fitz?
I don't know.
Well, because I'm scheduled to do the 50 and the 100, and to be quite honest with you, I don't know that I can ride a 50 and then turn around and do a 100.
Right, I hear you.
And I need to, if I've already entered and paid the entry and everything, but I would really like an FEI rider to come and do my 50-mile ride for me.
Yeah, are you
on my quarter horse.
Saturday, or are you
on Friday, because I gave myself a day's break in case I'm doing it.
Yeah,
and then I
probably would let you funge it over to Saturday. She's a teacher.
Uh-huh.
So she's...
Oh, yeah, as long as somebody else is riding, yeah, they can do it on Saturday. That
yeah, exactly. Let me check with her. This is one of those messy little things.
Has she done an FEI ride?
She's never done an FEI ride.
Does she have her 350s, though?
Yeah.
Do riders have to have 350s?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have to qualify up too.
You have to do the ladder the same as the horse.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
Within the last 2 years.
Well, she
yeah.
didn't ride do anything before last year, and we started her at Biltmore. On the
Mike Lewis is looking for a horse to ride too.
Yeah, I've got 350s, but I was pulled for one, so I've got two completions.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's going to
need another one.
I mean,
yeah.
It's going to be take a fairly strong rider for this horse too. I mean, he's not.
Let's phrase it this way: Marby's ridden Chrome perfectly happily, and Chrome is a heavy on the forehand animal.
Well,
he's semi polite, but he's definitely a forehand.
Well, no, you're looking for someone we'll think about.
Yeah,
think of anybody.
Right.
I'm going to sign off if nobody has any other
thank you.
Questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ann.
Take
care. You're very welcome. Good luck. We'll see you at Fitz.
Right.
Hey. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.